Assalamu alaikum. In touch with your faith, feeling the divine, ready to cleanse your soul's design. Today's the day, let the truth unfurl. I am the Sasha Saidi, for God herself is a trans woman, her. Tune in to Queering the Air for Insight Grand, Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. Take a stand. Dive into queer and trans tales so true on 3CR Community Radio, where hearts renew. Join the worship of your queerness. Let it inspire. Acknowledge that this event and all of the work that we undertake as a crew happens on the stolen land. We wish to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation and the traditional custodian of this land we call now Melbourne. We pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land. We also would like to extend our respect to our trans elders, past and present. Hello, hello. Welcome to Queering the Air. This is a very special episode because we never do shows on Saturday, usually on a Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. But today is Happy International Women's Day. Yes. So this is a special broadcast by us that we will be exploring intersectionality and culture, examining how these elements affect the experiences of women from diverse backgrounds. And we will also delve into their views on the importance of International Women's Day and their personal ways of celebrating the significant event. So joining me as guest is the Gender Expansive and Woman of Color Caucus Group. The founder is here as well, Hong, and also Jovelyn here. And I also got my bestie from Perth. Hello, welcome back, Amber. So yeah, we got these three powerful... Oh no, sorry, four, including me. So yeah, we got this four amazing, independent, powerful women in the studio to talk about all I just said just now. Also, we're going to talk about how we celebrate International Women's Day individually. So can I start off with Hong?
Yeah.
Can you tell the listeners who you are, what you do? Yeah, everything about you.
Oh, yes, my name is Hong Trung, she, her. I am a community organiser. I hail from the western suburbs of Melbourne. My parents were refugees, boat people, and Vietnamese boat people, and I have grown up, you know, using public services, going to public schools, and so I have a really strong ethic of fairness and social justice.
Mm-hmm.
And I, about a year ago, with a couple of friends, started the Gender Expansive People and Women of Colour Caucus. And that's where
we're very so grateful for that.
And I'd love to tell the story of that today.
Yeah. Well, you're also a politician, right?
I don't like to tell people.
Well, why not?
I'm mean, the like you worst do- politician in the sense that it feels in Australia to be a very white capitalist,
true,
you know,
but we're seeing colors these days, you
yeah.
know. I mean, like, I'm seeing it like, oh, every corner there's a new poster, and then there's like in that group, there's someone person of color.
Yeah,
I said, oh wow, this is progressive.
That's us, yeah, that's us. We're trying to break through. Yeah, I'm running as the federal candidate for Fraser for the Greens, which is around the western suburbs. If you know Footscray, St Albans, Kielba, you know, Deer Park, those sorts of west side areas. That's my home, and I'm hoping to be elected for the people.
Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about that later on. All right, so Jovelyn, my cute little sister here.
Hi, Sasha.
Yeah, hi. Finally, I get you on in the studio with me.
I'm so happy to
be here. Yeah, I'm so happy.
I think I was really like nervous before I came in, but when I saw you, it just
absorbed. Thank you.
Like talking to you is the best. Being with you is the best. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, Jovelyn, I mean, we only got to know each other very recent, but I just feel like we connected so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, we got drunk together as well. Yeah. So, you know, that's how people connect and just is, right? But we have a big age gap too, but I don't see it, you know? I mean, we both don't feel awkward, like, you know.
Yeah, I don't feel it. Yeah, like, I do feel like you're my sister. Like,
yeah,
like...
right? Because we channel the same vibe. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's amazing, and she has amazing group of fans as well. One is a rock star.
Oh, she's got a gig tonight. Yeah, Brunswick Music Festival, Hannabella, catch her tonight.
What time?
6 p.m. at Hotel Railway.
Yay, Hotel Railway. All right, you need to meet this girl. She's amazing. I mean, like, everything is amazing about her.
Stop.
Yeah. All right, my bestie Amber. I think you need to reintroduce to our listeners, like, who you are. They already know you're my bestie, but where are you from? I mean, tell us.
I'm from Perth. Good to be back in Melbourne. Thanks for having me on the show. I think last night I was on the show. We were like having, like, just talking shop, talking crap. So it's good to be back. Yeah.
But I think we talk about the truth as well, how we were treated in Singapore, like, the police force there treat us like a second citizen, put us in cell all the time for being who we are.
Yeah.
And it's just like we're not human there. So we did touch base on those serious matters, that how, you know, it's definitely a trauma for many of us at that time. It's just that we were being silenced because there's no freedom of speech there. If you talk about this in Singapore, you probably get locked out, or maybe the police knock on your door. So I'm so glad I'm being here and I get to share my story, and also get to share this story with you because we shared this experience together.
Yeah. And I think that what makes us today now, it create the person we are now this time.
Yeah.
So I think we just grow from there, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, we talk about it, but definitely grateful that we go past through that. I mean, now that, you know, a lot of trans people here, especially in Sydney and also Melbourne, are fighting over the police force here. And, you know, like I said, I have a very good experience with the police here, but they probably not. But I can still put myself in their shoe. You know, that trauma that we experience in Singapore, that could be the same for them here. So, yeah, I mean, okay, so let's talk about International Women's Day. Yay. I mean, like, in Singapore, we don't really celebrate international. I mean, like, I hardly hear this until I came to Australia. Like, there's so many to be celebrated. Trans Day of Visibility, Women's Day, Sex Workers Day. You know, there's a lot of parties going on here, right?
Yeah,
but I wish there's a day off too, a public holiday. Okay, so I want to ask, you know, all of you, like, how do you celebrate International Women's Day, or you just like sleep in, like, don't care?
It's not a huge thing for me.
Yeah.
I think just being a woman is I feel like is such a background thing for me at the moment, but I think about family violence in this country. I think about how First Nations women are treated in this country, trans women.
Yes.
I think you're right. Australia, particularly Victoria, loves these massive international days of whatever. But for me, unless it's, if we're not taking these moments to make sure that we're transforming systems, if we're just doing the corporate thing of pink cupcakes and, wheeling out an event of some sort, and we're not passing the mic to people with lived experience, then what's the point? So today in particular, I want to reflect on what I've learned. I've been reflecting on what I've learned of what it means to be a Muslim woman to move through this world. I've done a lot of Palestine advocacy, so that's really brought me in touch with people like Hannah Asafiri, people like yourself, Sasha. And I think the theme of it for me has always been the willingness to listen and to be changed by what you hear of other women's experiences.
Of course.
It's an organizing ethic for me, community organizing ethic. But also, I think that's just the spirit of the caucus.
Mm.
When we back each other in because we are seeking to understand the experience of other women and also accepting that maybe I won't wholly know what it's like to be a First Nations woman in this country, a trans woman in this country, a Muslim hijabi woman in this country, but that it's really, really worth us trying to hear because everything else is so whitewashed.
Mm. 100%. I mean, the caucus been amazing. Connect us all. It feels like family. I love that women comes together. We always uplift each other. We support.
We can't help it.
I know. I mean, like, I want to talk later about that iftar that Hannah did with our table.
Moroccan
that
super.
Was so inspiring.
Yeah.
You know, we get back to that. I want to ask Jovelyn, like, how do you celebrate International Women's Day usually?
Well, similar to you, even though I grew up in Australia, I wasn't really aware of every single day celebrated. Like, I grew up in the West, like Hong. Like, I don't know if we celebrated days there. Not to generalize or anything. It sounds so dramatic.
It was like Remembrance Day.
Yeah, that's
Anzac
it.
Anzac Day.
Like, just like the key
colonizers days.
100%. Like, I didn't really know about all these, like, other days that celebrated women or, like, well, even you just then mentioned days I didn't even know about.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, I never really celebrated it. This is probably my first year, like, celebrating it rather than just, like, you know, I guess consuming social media about it or whatever it is. But because I'd never celebrated it before. Being here today with you guys, I know in the future I want to celebrate it like this. I think
we should throw a party. By
yeah,
the caucus, 100%. Right?
Like,
every year, let's
let's do it.
It never excited me previously, but like being around women that I really admire has made me excited to celebrate. This is exactly how I want to celebrate with you guys, like every year. So I guess that's how. Like, I think I just want to celebrate it and plan to celebrate it with really strong, cool women.
I think women should be celebrated every single day, especially mothers.
Let's be real, though. Yeah. I feel like in our communities who aren't, you know, predominantly white, there's ancestor worship.
Mm.
We respect our elders and the matriarchs. Like, I think about my mother, my grandparents, my grandmothers, you know, the women who founded Vietnam, or two warrior women who, you know, fought back against Chinese colonization. Raise an army, like there is so much that we kind of honor every day without having a random international day, but
of course,
but here we are.
I mean, white people like to make a day, right? Like, to so they can make it official.
How will we know it's important if we don't have a day of it? Well, in our calendars,
to be honest, like, my mom is special every day, so I celebrate her every single day because she's an amazing person. And I celebrate my friends too, you know, who are moms who are struggling, and just like support them all the time. I celebrate them every day. International Women's Day should be every day. Because women, you know, I can never understand how, you know, especially a cis woman, like, you know, pregnancy and everything, I couldn't experience that. But I have lived with this woman, you know, I see their struggles, and, you know, it's not an easy journey, you know. So I know it's kudos to all women today, because, you know, you are doing amazing. Even though you think that you're not, you still are amazing.
We see you.
Yeah, we see you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Amber, how do you celebrate International Women's Day?
I don't think I really celebrate International Women's Day, but I think this day actually just reminds me of all the strong women in my life or in the world, and how we actually support each other, about sisterhood, and the things that we actually go through to where we are now. So I think it's for me to reflect how we are in the world, how we actually being there for each other, which is very important. You know, I'm very big on, like, women supporting women.
Yes.
So definitely, like, it reminds me that I have to do that for all my girlfriends and all the people I actually meet, in, you know, in the society. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, women are not going to take BS anymore, you know? Like, we have endured so much, tolerate BS from, especially patriarchies, you know? And when that Me Too movement came out, I was like, bitch, this is so good.
It's on.
I mean, like, every single day that someone's coming out with a story, you know, because I can understand. I mean, a lot of people think, if I come up with this story, nobody's gonna believe us. And
by
it's,
ourselves.
It's proven.
Yeah.
It's proven. That's why a lot of women just shut it, mm-hmm. not gonna talk about it. Yeah. Yeah, because I've seen it and I experienced it and I know. These women have kept silent for a long time and this, like, all these perpetrators are walking out free, you know? And I hate this happening because I like to bring them down, as you know.
Yes, kind
of. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, like, yeah. I mean, like, someone has to start, right? And then all the women, like, oh, she inspired me. I'm going to do it too, you know? It's like the Me Too movement, just like domino.
I think it there seems to be this pattern in kind of big P politics of when we talk about sexual violence against women or family violence, we are looking only at the colonial systems to fix it for us. And Me Too really showed us that it's a massive failure for so long systemically that women aren't believed, that justice is never served. But I also know, just from the work that I've been doing in the West, in Greens politics, that women work it out. They rescue each other from trafficked situations, like the Filipino women, Magante and Gabriela Australia. Like, these are grassroots women with their whole ass lives taking time in their weekends, in between things, in between care of their own kids, to rescue women from these really violent situations. We as women, and I think this is very Jepwok caucus vibes, if we see a need, we find a way.
Yeah.
Like, we just back each other. And so we don't, I think it's a myth that women are waiting for change to happen. Mm-mm. There's already so much grassroots support.
You know what? When you talk about grassroots, it just remind me, like, we have our trans sisters, right?
Yes.
And then they have abusive boyfriends. And there's no organization that they can go to or they trust. Of course, our house will be open for them for a safe space where they need that.
Immediately.
Yeah, immediately. I mean, like, me and Amber, we have friends, like, from overseas, like, boyfriends are very abusive and come to my place, cry, and, you know, we give them comfort. But, you know, it's a complex situation where these trans women will go back to their partner.
Same patterns everywhere.
Same pattern. Like, I see bruises on your face.
But the politics of it, we don't get a platform to talk to each other out loud.
Yeah.
Society doesn't deal with our struggles from our voices.
Mm.
So that's why I think things like Jepwok Caucus, the iftars that are grassroots run, it gives us that space to say, hey, I see you. This is not okay.
Yeah.
This is. We need to change this.
Yeah.
And we will change it in a way that we know will fix it.
Yeah.
We're not going to wait for someone to give us funding. We're not going to wait for someone to make the space for us. We're doing it ourselves. And I think that's how we transform systems.
I know, but, you know, this has been an ongoing discussion where why women of color especially do not go to, you know, some of these mainstream organizations for help. Because there was no trust. Maybe culture barriers, language barriers. So why haven't they fixed this? I mean, we keep talking about this and still these women feel safe within their friends, sisterhood, instead of, you know, this professional that actually can help them. They don't feel safe at all.
Because I think our systems don't start with our needs. They start with funding structures and government policy and white people are writing that stuff. And maybe sometimes we have brown people writing that stuff within a white system. But if we're talking about Gabriella knowing that there's a woman somewhere in the western suburbs that needs help right now and her kids need safety from violence and need refuge, it's like, all right, you're staying in my spare room. We're going to get you material aid. We're going to get someone to drive your kids to school. It's based on the needs and the voices. Like, people, you have to start with the position that the people who are suffering, the people who have the issues, who are being oppressed, know what needs to happen to fix it.
That's it.
That's the starting point. Well, I don't think our white systems do that.
And,
I'm hoping to transform that in politics and at the grassroots.
That's it. Vote for Fraser.
Vote for Fraser, yo.
I agree. Everything you said there is so on point, because this has been an ongoing conversation, not just for cis women, it's also for transgender women of color. And still, I'm trying to advocate trans women of color. If you have problems like, you know, domestic violence and stuff, you can go to this organization. Still, they won't go there because there's no trust there. So how are you going to fix that? Employ trans women.
Absolutely.
in your workspace. You know, there's so many trans women of color out there is capable of doing this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Like I said, I want to make this light, but it happens, you know, because we are very passionate about women in general, and we want to create a better space for them, and we want to create change. This is why we got the caucus. Let's talk about the caucus. Like, can you explain what Gender Expansive and Women of Color Caucus is all about?
We began as the non-binary Women of Color Caucus, mm-hmm. but then we realized that's not encompassing how incredibly diverse we are. So shout out to our sisters, Annabelle and Christabel.
Yes, they're from Perth, actually.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
some core crew. To expanding it to Gender Expansive People and Women of Color Caucus. How it started. So I've been in politics. I know I look like a baby, but I am actually 41 for a really long time, over 20 years. And it's always felt so isolating, like climate activism, anti-racist stuff, all this kind of stuff. It just felt like I was constantly negotiating white spaces.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I also noticed that whenever I spoke to those, you know, different women of color or gender expansive people, I felt seen.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, in the past year, it wasn't enough for me, because it was always incidental. Maybe I met someone, you know, at an event or something like that, or maybe it's a mate of mine that I don't work with or whatever. And it was very ad hoc, and I needed that nourishment, that feeling that I'm not losing my mind. I'm actually just not feeling heard.
Yeah.
So took a chance back in February 2024, last year? Did we start last year?
I went for the first one.
Yeah, all the women of colour that I know. And I know women of colour, they seek out other women of colour. So you know we're going to know the most fire people, right? And so the invitation was really simple.
Mm.
It was, we're going to come together in Footscray on, you know, particular date in February, we're going to share a meal and talk about whatever the hell we want. That was all. That was it.
Yeah.
And we had
at that time, I didn't even know who you were.
But you knew the person who invited you.
Yeah.
At Araya.
Yeah, at Araya.
Yeah. And so this is the energy. This is the vibe. We trust each other. We're like, we know if Sasha's going to be there, it's going to be lit. If Sasha's inviting me, I'm there. And we trusted that. And, you know, when you get women together who are about it, like they've done the work on themselves, trans women in particular, right? You got to know who you are to survive. Mm. And then you get together, it's instant solidarity. It's
instant,
like...
Mm-hmm. We have different beliefs. Well, and, you know, like, one of the attendees, like, she is so radical. She wants to protest. She wants violence. And I'm, like, super... opposite. I said we can do with kindness, but get our voices.
Yes.
And then she was like, no, I want to fucking fight. But we still respect each other, though we do.
If you notice, we started and like in that moment, I was like, if this is a one-off, whatever, I really just need these women together, and just trusted that. And of course, we couldn't help it.
Mm.
You know, let's do it again next fortnight. Let's do it every month for the rest of the year.
Everybody keep and asking.
That's right. So, and it started and it has continued to be whatever the space, whoever turns up creates the space.
Yeah.
And the caucus is just a space to speak about and be whatever it is that the people who turned up need.
Mm.
And so it was always going to be magic. It was like a witch's coven that first time, if you recall. Yeah. And everyone just felt so safe. And, and I think the true safety, the ability to be angry in that space and not feel like you got to kind of hold yourself in or be funny.
There was tears as well.
Of course.
We cried together.
Because it was such a deep connection. Such a deep connection. So, and also I think the liberation part of it is we were able to out loud just verbalize what was going on for us without having to negotiate the white gaze.
Yeah.
We were like, this feels unfair. This feels like, this didn't feel right. We didn't even have to have fully formed ideas.
Yeah.
And so together we would metabolize each other's, you know, oppression, anger. And always, if you notice, every conversation turned back to love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every conversation turned back to, like, we got you, we got each other.
Mm.
This is so nourishing. This is so powerful. And I think that's why it always became what we needed.
It is. I mean, you know, there's, like, mid last year, I was going through, like, this legal battle. And that's one of the night that it was the caucus, I was so quiet because my brain
Sasha is quiet. Yeah, what's going on, baby?
Yeah. And I didn't tell anyone about that. And then until the next caucus, and then said, so, like, that night, because I was so quiet, I received this letter, which I'm trying to process, but I still want to attend that caucus. So I did attend. And then I told the woman there that about this case, but I didn't tell in details. But the support that I get from everyone, they didn't even ask, like, what happened, blah, blah, blah. They just support me, like, without asking questions. That's when I said, like, this is my people, you know?
Yeah.
They're not nosy. They just want to support a woman. Yeah, this is what women do, support each other.
I feel like even if you come in feeling bad, after you go a few times and you feel safe and you're familiar with the space, even if you go in and you have no intention to share, it just comes out of you because it's such a safe space.
Yeah.
And I think, like, it's special because, like, there's no need to over-explain yourself. That's I always feel fatigued because in, like, in white spaces, I always feel tired. Like, there's always something at the end of the day.
That's true, though. You're so right about this.
Yeah, like, I always feel this fatigue and I never know where it's coming from. And, like, it feels a bit lonely. But then when I'm around you guys, like, I'm like, there is nothing I have to over explain. Like, you guys just, even if you don't understand, like, there's just an acceptance.
Yeah.
I feel like often around other people, I feel interrogated or I feel a bit vilified for, like, things. I don't know how to explain it, but
I know
even if you don't come in with the intention to share and be raw, you just do. Like, it's just that's what happens in the space. Like,
and you can come in tired.
You can come in tired.
Most of the time, the ladies will come tired anyway because it's been a long day.
And then you leave, and it nourished is the perfect word. Like, every time I come in not feeling well, I leave inspired.
Yeah.
I feel replenished.
I agree. This is why usually my last sentence is like, I feel very empowered.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
It's true, though, because I just feel every single person is given that space to be heard. And we took that time. Usually we go overtime. You know, it was late already.
It's always hours. Like,
It was so late. So but we take that time, let every single person to speak. And then we leave, you know. I said, like, this is amazing. Even though we are so tired, but we still feel empowered. Even because this is usually during, like, Wednesday or a Thursday, after work.
And we always eat good. That's the whole thing about an ethnic space.
Yes.
Like, you have to. Good food.
You have to. Amber, you have to move here and join this cult.
Oh my god, I'm like so jealous.
Or maybe you can franchise it there and Amber can take the lead.
Yes.
No, I'm just so inspired to, like, hear from all of you, like, how you actually support each other. I feel so moved, actually. I just listening to the whole speech. I was like, oh my god, like,
I know.
Amber, you must have spaces where you feel that safe. Around people or around, you know, friends like Sasha?
Yeah, girlfriends and friends, definitely. Yeah.
There's something about being amongst strangers, though.
You know,
and a willingness to really understand and get to know these people you've never met before.
There's I mean, like, for a trans woman, it's either you're going to get rejection or either I'm going to get you guys. So I got you guys. So it's always this doubt. Like I said last Wednesday at the iftar with all these religious women with the hijabi, I said, like, should I sugarcoat what I'm going to say or I'm just going to be truthful? But Hannah said you need to have this truthful story. So I'm not going to fucking sugarcoat. I'm just going to be me. I mean, I'm a proud trans woman. And the support that I get from this religious, I mean, like, I know my table is very supportive already, but this religious woman behind us and the other side, they were clapping. I was like, oh, wow. Because I've never get this reaction before. Mm. And like I said, I tried to mix around with the Muslim straight community and they
They won't play with you.
Yeah, they will. They think that I'm just like an object that they can laugh about. And I felt like, you know, they're using me. They invite me, but use me to be like a clown for them.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was. So I was also at that dinner, at that iftar. Mm. Started about 7:30, so everyone's at the end of the day. Maybe 100 women there, yeah. 10 different tables. Most of them didn't know each other. Mm. And Hannah Asafiri, absolute queen,
yes,
runs the Moroccan soup bar where it's located. And I think intention matters. So she fed us all.
Mm-hmm.
No payment, nothing to ask of us except to turn up. She asked each of us, one of us and from each table to speak on the power of women and hope. And I was really, really hoping you would stand up, Sasha. And I've known you for over a year. And when you opened your mouth, I was, and you know, there was hijabi women, Muslim women. And yeah. I don't know, when I was there, you know, what I learned from your courage and how articulate you were about your journey between your gender identity, your trans identity, and feeling holy woman. Mm. And at the same time, feeling like, maybe yes, no, whether you could have your faith at the same time.
Yeah,
I think you changed a lot of women just by saying it so honestly.
Yeah.
But it's because you know yourself, right?
Mm.
And so if there are other closet women, trans women in the space.
There was. If there and are like she non-trans came up women, to me and said like, right. Thank you. I said like, thank you for what? I said, I'm actually closet and I haven't come out and you give me hope. I'm dating a guy that I actually don't like. I like women. Mm. I said, one day, inshallah, you will be inshallah. Feel confident enough to come out. I said, it took me a while as well. Like, coming to Australia is a reborn for me because being in Singapore, you have to be this passable. You can't tell people that you're trans. You know, you have to, it's a culture thing. So I'm tired of lying about my gender. Like, I want to say that like, I'm a trans woman. You know, I respect some trans woman wants to be identified just woman. Until I understand, but I was forced to be just woman. I want to be trans woman.
Yeah.
So I come to Melbourne. I was like, it's a reborn for me. Like, oh, I can actually be proud for who I'm tired of, like pretending to be someone that I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can dress loudly, and people are like, oh, that's a trans woman, but she's beautiful. I like that. You know.
Oh.
Yeah. So you know, that is me. That's my gender identity and gender expression. So I came here, there was like a reborn for me that I can be who I am. I'm like, oh, who are you? So I'm a trans woman from Singapore.
Sasha.
My pronouns is she because I will never be her.
Yeah, baby.
I was waiting for this. I was like, she didn't say it.
Sasha, I think if we're talking about transforming systems, the way that you turn up for us and you turn up for yourself, this is what we're about.
Because...
And you encourage, like, you just being unapologetic is encouraging every single one of us. Like,
yeah.
We fangirl you, Job, like, me and Job.
I know, but you know, you guys inspired me too.
We all fangirl each other.
Yeah. But it can only happen because you know yourself, right? And you know how to turn up for yourself.
Yeah.
And so that is so encouraging and so real. So we can't help but turn up for ourselves.
It's the same, like, going to all these caucus and then I start learning, like, some of these women are politicians. Like, I don't even have friends who are politicians.
They're starting legal centers. They run charities. They're starting small businesses.
I know, like, Pyle was talking about, she's doing this. Like,
yep.
I said, like, Canada, how many politicians are there now in my phone list?
Yeah. It's funny because you're like, oh, I know politicians. And we're like, we know the Sasha Sider. We know a radio TV superstar.
It's funny, like, when I created Queer Muslim Now, creating this space for, the queer Muslim.
Same energy.
To do iftar, yeah.
Same energy.
And then suddenly I have all these MPs on my phone calling me. Like, Adam Pulford is on my phone.
Yeah.
Fiona Patton is on my phone. Like, I said, like...
Name drop.
Bitch, like... like, since when I have politicians on my phone?
You're influential. Yeah,
Jacinta was like, wow.
Jacinta.
Yeah.
Influential queen, that's why.
I mean, like, yeah, it's amazing that, you know, all these politicians want to support what we do.
Because they don't know how to do this. I have to tell you,
of course,
right?
I mean, like, they want to do it, but they don't know how, like you said.
And it shouldn't be them.
And you know what? To be honest, don't be afraid. Create that space and employ people with those experience like myself.
Please, please.
Yeah. So it's not that hard. A lot of people also, I want to talk about this because I know nothing about sister girls, brother boys, but I've seen documentaries, right? Mm. And when we were watching this documentary, it's like they're crying for help on that documentary. I said, like, I want to meet them. If I'm going to do advocacy, that will be my first work. Mm. So that's how Trans Sisters United came about. Hey. There's the three of us, Rebecca, Loveday, and also Miss Catalina. And then we said, let's do this. I mean, like, I want to know about them more because I've never heard of them until I watched that documentary at the Queer Film Festival 2018 or 19. I can't remember. Yeah. And we tried to get funding. Rejection all the time, you know. So I was like, we still want to do this. So we self-funded, go to TV Island for the very first time, meet these girls, amazing. I mean, like, they live on a island, isolated island, have not much, but full of joy. Like, they are living their life there, you know. And here we are, so privileged in Melbourne, and whinge about some stupid things. And I was like, it's an eye-opener for me. Like, these girls are happy, you know. Yeah, of course they want, like, hormones and, you know, all those things. Mm. It's just that they can't get there on the island. And that's when me and Rebecca was like, let's come back on 2020 in February and get to know them a little bit more deeper. So we stayed for the weekend. Thank God that was the week before we went into lockdown.
Oh!
I know. We were, like, celebrating, and then, yeah, and then we went into lockdown. But what I'm trying to say is, we were jumping guns just to go there because we have good intention, we want to connect. But why these rich and mainstream organization that has money always keep telling us we don't know how to reach out?
They don't even try.
I mean, like, if
but why
these
did
two...
you why did you do it anyway, Sasha?
Because I wanna know. I mean, like, me too. I came to this country, I didn't know anything about First Nation people. I swear to God, I thought it's a white country because that is what is being portrayed all over the world.
The
you know, yeah, exactly. So we came to this country. I didn't even know about, and I start learning. I saw this all ads, and then I got curious, and I do my own research. And I was, like, horrified, like, all these graphic photos. And then I learned about the sister girl. Oh, who is this sister girl? What organization are there? And, yeah, so I'm a very curious person. That's why I said, if we're going to do an advocacy work for the very first time, we're going to do it with the First Nation people. And we did. We didn't get funding, but still, we still
made it happen.
We make it happen. And if we can make it happen without any money, why can't this rich organization and say, oh, we don't know how to reach out? I mean, like...
Which is why I don't mess with organizations that aren't prepared to listen to us.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, they can keep their money.
Mm.
But if they want our labor and if they want our perspective, they've got to be real about listening to us. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, we're just going to do it anyway, right?
Exactly.
We'll find a way.
We'll find a way. If me and Rebecca, who have no knowledge about advocacy at all, especially me. I've never done it, you know. I've done a lot, like, you know, helping friends, but not officially, like, do advocacy work for my peers. This is my very first time, but I still do it anyway, you know.
Yeah, I think it comes natural to you because your everyday is advocacy. Like, yeah. Everything you do, like, even you being true. You is advocacy. Like,
true. I don't know if I'm going to be on this island, if I'm going to get killed or what. I never thought of that, you know. Mm. But a lot of these... Especially white people, like, they tell me, like, oh, you need to cover your tattoos when you're on the island. But I said, you have to be respectful.
They have...
I mean, like, these bitches haven't been there before and telling me how I should behave. I mean, like, and then I told Rebecca, like, being kind, being respectful, isn't that supposed to be mutual human nature? Why is it supposed to be, you know, extra respectful because they're Aboriginal people, you know? I mean, like, isn't that common sense?
Right.
I was confused. And then when I got there, they are as scam as me.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
At first, me and Rebecca got there, and then we said, like, oh, we're here for Diane Davis. That is the lady that who nurtured these sister girls in this art gallery, and Diane Davis wasn't there. So we sat there. I can see some of the sister girls were doing screen printing stuff.
Hey.
So they weren't talking to us. And then when Diane Davis come up to us, and Diane Davis like, hey, come here. This is the Sasha and Rebecca.
The Sasha.
And then, yeah. And then They, oh my God, they so cam suddenly. At first they were so serious, and then suddenly they become cam. Like, we heard about you. Oh my God, we thought you were just like normal woman. I was like, oh my God. I mean, like, we were terrified because of all these warnings from all these white people telling us how you should behave, how you should be respectful, you know. I don't know, because, you know, sometimes I see movies, like, people, tribal people, like, maybe kill people, you know. I don't know what's going to happen, but they were so lovely. And I was like, Rebecca, do not listen to white people anymore. I mean, like, they put pressure on us.
It's made it harder for me to be comfortable around white people, to be honest, because there's so much that's marginalized when we're dealing with them. Jovia, think about what you just said before, and Amber, I'd love to know too.
Yeah.
Like, when you go into a space, I feel like it's exhausting because we know from lived experience that we have to clock how white the room is, how male the room is, before we even figure out, like, because we need to know how to present ourselves to be understood as much as we can be. Before we even figure out what it is that we want to say, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, how safe I imagine, as a trans woman, as an Asian woman, as a woman that looks young. I think there's real ageism, and they don't respect younger voices. And then you're like, okay, now I just want to make sure that they hear me when I say this is how I want to do things, right? We're always constantly negotiating three or four other people's different versions of what's going on before we even hear our own self.
Yeah.
So I think the thing about the caucus is you just turn up as yourself.
Exactly.
Your whole self. I'm tired. I've on my period. Yeah. I'm really struggling with this court case. I don't want to talk about it, but I want to be here, you know? I almost didn't come. I hear that a lot, don't we?
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I did.
Yeah.
Like, it's because you just come and you just be, and then we're all ready to back you however you turn up.
Yeah, I feel like being in, like, more white spaces, I've realised how this culture has even taken over, like, correctness. Like, because you described that on the island. And, like, growing up in the West, like, I was always around other people of colour, and I was always around other people whose parents immigrated here. And everything was so casual. Like, there was never this over, you know, self-consciousness or, like, just constantly wondering if I'm saying the right thing. Like, it's just we said everything.
Yeah.
And then you go into these other spaces. Like, I remember going to, like, university for the first time and, like, being in these human rights classes, but nobody really kind of coming from the same background as me, and just being like, oh, like, why do I suddenly, after being so confident speaking on issues my whole life, feel so self-conscious about what I'm saying, or if I'm saying the correct thing?
Yeah.
But it's like, that's because my lived experience. Like, why am I even being told how to correctly speak about my own experiences? Like, I fear that, like, I don't know, white people just make you feel so reactive as a person
because
all the time.
Because they'll tell you there's a way to be wrong.
Yeah, exactly. There's a way to be wrong. There's a way to live your experiences. There's a way to convey your experiences to others. But, like,
you see it in politics in terms of, like, you know, white people going, oh, yeah, I just don't want them to protest that way. Why do the climate people have to hold up traffic? It's like, there's this fake civility that they really want.
Or, like, there's a time and place. There's,
like, your example of, like, going to a mate's house and they're 100% going to be of a non-white background. If you live in the West, right? And there's a way to turn up and be respectful to their elders and their culture. Take your shoes off at the door.
Yes.
You know, let the elders eat first. But there's no way that you will ever feel like you're wrong for being there.
Yeah.
And if you inadvertently do something that's, like, not culturally appropriate, they will let you know and they will love you for it.
Yeah, they'll just tell you.
Yeah, like, they'll just tell you. No, tell you to your face.
I know. I mean, like,
it's so transparent. Sometimes there's no way that you can be wrong.
No, sometimes I do feel like, I love that you do not open this space to, you know, white women, white female.
Oh, that's because been a conversation, so right? There's been a conversation.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
A spicy white people, like, are they welcome?
An ally.
Like,
but the problem is, I'm glad because I've been in a space where people of color open up space for white people. And I notice they like to take over.
They can't help it.
They can't help it.
Because they've been in the center for so long.
I mean, like, yeah, you speak English, but you only speak English. You can't speak any other languages. So, you know.
I know. I find this is a really funny side thing. I just thought it was funny. Like, my white friends will be, like, talking about really wanting to learn another language. And I'm like, that's not normal. You guys don't know another language. I'm like, what?
Literally. Yeah.
So I was like, now I understand, especially a lot of these, especially, like, women and non-binary women, they are so strict about not opening that space for white people. And I feel like this is so racist, you know? We should be opening up the door for everybody. Why can't we... Now I fucking understand now why.
Oh my God, Sasha, I didn't know where you were going with that. Because, yeah. Like, no, we are not opening up. The caucus.
I'm that kind of person. I like to, you know, create love instead of division. But now I understand fully why that division needs to be made.
Yeah. Can I also add, so the caucus, we've been really lucky. I've got really great relationships with some really solid allies, our Greens MPs. And that's how it's been funded. And there was no question.
Yeah.
But you know, that they will be like, all right, we need to create these spaces for gender expansive women of color. This is what roughly we're going to do. You don't get to attend. All right. You're an MP that's going to like help fund the structure of it, the hiring of the venue, the food. I will let you know what comes of it, but you don't get to participate. And there was no question. You know, Ellen Sandel, the leader of the Greens at the time, or currently Samantha Ratnam, they just got it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we had other people who were like, other community organizers within the Greens who are white, oh, can I come and observe? I'm like, I'm sorry, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, that was also a really valuable conversation that we need our own spaces.
Yeah.
And you have to be okay to feel excluded, because that's our like every day to feel excluded.
I mean,
and we need a space where we don't need to like measure ourselves against what you think is right. Yeah.
I needed that experience to understand, because at the time I was like, this is so racist. I'm not racist, you know. I've never divide people Sasha's within the color. Yeah. And then when I start to open up, I was like, now I know. Like, you're taking up too much space.
But babe, like the queer space and the trans space is very white as well.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So how did you feel about having queer Muslim, you know?
It's the same. I mean, like, I open up... we have been opening up queer Muslim to...
Allies?
You know, yeah, allies.
But the power and control and the...
But I said, like, I'm going to fucking take control of that. Yeah.
That's
because, you know, I already know this, why there's division, but I still want to open up this for they can learn about our culture, about Ramadan, about, you know, queer Muslim struggles. And, but I know some of them don't, you know, they're taking out space. And I'm going to tell them, you know, I'm just going to be brutal. I don't care. Because you need to learn, like, taking off shoes, coming into Asian's house, that is a big thing when a white person... And let me tell you, I got tradies coming to my house to fix stuff. And the young ones, they take off their shoes. Older one, they come in with their shoes. They say, excuse me, take off your shoes, Asian house. But the young ones, wow. And I said, like, you have a lot of Asian friends? Yeah, I do. I said, yeah, that's why you take off your shoes outside my door. And I was like, I'm impressed.
So there's
the awareness, that's you know? Right.
And some white folks who hoard that power, they're not prepared to change for us, you know? And then there are. So maybe one day we will have some events that JEPWOC caucus can invite, you know, allies, but they need to know how to behave.
But sometimes,
they need to know how to have space, right?
Last year, we did open up for a lot of allies to come to experience...
Queer Muslim
iftar. Especially the last one. And then I don't know why my business partner Budi created this feedback form. I said, who cares? I mean, like, we're not getting paid. Who cares about, like, doing better? We did our best. But he still won. He's very corporate because he's worked for Tone Harbour Health. So he did. And then there's this comment came in.
Uh-oh.
I know for a fact it wasn't from a Muslim community. You know what they said? Like, get on with... your event, you don't have to show solidarity with Palestine, you know, you're supporting Hamas bullshit. I was fucking furious. Bitch, I mean, like...
What does that tell you about this person, though?
Definitely, they
don't know that all the systems that oppress us are the same ones.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? We fed this bitch, like, free food, free entertainment, and then you tell us how we're gonna run our show? This is why... They take out space.
I love that Budi asked for feedback because we do.
I don't like that because this is volunteer.
So the way that we give and receive feedback, it's funny. The caucus is run by us, so if we have an opinion on it, everybody
knows. Will be different, right?
So and people who participate, they already know without being told that we want to know how they feel in the space. Right?
I mean, that's fine. Yeah, it would be different. This is like. This white people giving us fucking feedback. You should just say thank you for the free food.
Yeah, I think and also form that sends me. The form is so
no, if you actually follow our social media, every single iftar, we acknowledge what's happening in Palestine.
You have to. Because how can you not?
We are Muslim brothers and sisters.
That's
family.
The persecution is on that line.
And you know what? You don't have to be Muslim to feel sorry for these people. You know, you need to be human and have empathy.
But imagine a live genocide and then someone stepping up to say, irrelevant to our beautiful iftar. Mm. So, yeah, what does it say about this person? What it tells me is that this person was giving anonymous feedback, so has no intention of changing or having relationship with Aside from that, like, they didn't want to put their hands in to help change it for what they needed. Yeah. They're like, hey, Sasha, this is your problem. Mm. And this is very white. It's like there's no willingness to kind of be like, I love this thing. I'm glad I was a part of it. How can I give and improve it? It's more like, I'm a Karen. I'm going to tell you it was not to my needs and then you fix it. Like I was
fuming when I read that. Yeah, and then I show my anger with the group chat and, you know, we get all the support. I'm very vocal. And then suddenly I got all the support from the volunteer team. I said, like, how dare this asshole? Can we just get the IP address? Because I'm ready to attack.
No, I know I'm grateful. Upset because it's on your story. When
it involves men, I'm going to fucking call you out.
Right.
Because don't I'm not a fucking slight anymore because as I'm tired of struggle in silence because that's what men make that for women to stay silent. I want to inspire women, like, be loud, be angry. Yeah. And, you know, be you because, you know what, not going to mess with you anymore. And a lot of women actually are now speaking up, which I love. You know, I used to be that woman who just cried in the corner in the bedroom because I don't know how to react. But I think this man has changed me to be a very angry person. And I like this angry person. Yeah.
I think I don't even think of it as anger. I think of it as like a form of resistance. Mm. Like you being loud is resistance. You being vocal is resistance.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've learned that in the past.
I mean, like, I don't give a fuck if it's my friend, if I'm going to hurt your feeling, but you need to respect women. Full stop. If you're going to treat your mom with respect, respect other women like you respect your mom. 100%. Simple, you know? It's not that hard. I don't care what culture you come from that you think that woman should be second. This is, you come to Australia. If you want to treat women second, go back to your country. I'm just saying it because don't bring that toxic culture.
I just heard you say that. No, gosh.
No, toxic culture you bring here and then you want to treat women like that, like they are, you know, number two. We should be treated equally here. That's how Australia culture is. Don't you reckon?
Well, for me, let's talk about this anger and oppression because I think this is what I've grown into in terms of my politics through meeting all these dozens and dozens and dozens of women each time at the Gender Expansive People, Women of Colour Caucus. And let's not get off air until we let everybody connect to our next caucus. But in my politics and in Australian politics, we get to anger and then we sit there and we fester. If you look at outside of 3CR, when people talk about politics, it's like these hot takes and mad white people opinions and, you know, just really snarky commentary that doesn't get us to a place of liberation.
Mm.
But with our caucus, we have you turning up, each of us turning up saying, this horrible thing happened and I'm not okay about it.
Mm.
And we're all like, that's infuriating, that's awful. But together we metabolize it. And I think that's what's needed in politics. And as a candidate, I joked before, I'm a terrible candidate because I'm not interested in just being on a soapbox and just shouting my opinions at people. I need to find us ways to build community and then bring it back to what do we want? What is the positive?
I just want justice
We want justice, yes.
Like for me, because not everybody can be Sasha, right? I mean, like, I'm a very angry person. Like, I'm usually the problem is if I settle down and then I forget I can't wish because I wanna.
You don't wanna walk past
I wanna speak up when I'm still angry.
Yes.
That fire's still burning in me.
And that's a skill.
And I don't want that fire to burn down. And I was like, oh, it's okay. I mean, I passed it. I've moved on. I don't wanna do that.
You see a need.
I want it to do it then, and then I'll move on.
Yeah. I think, like, you talk about your experiences as a trans woman and coming to Australia. Like, I think it's so important for you to just not hide anything anymore.
Yeah.
Like, this is your time to no longer hide from anything. Like, so it makes so much sense to me that you're so open because you've had to hide for such a long time.
I have to hide a long, long time, of course.
Say whatever you want to say. I think I
said this a lot of times. 3CR actually shaped me to be who I am today.
Hey.
Like, speak up, you know, being an activist. 3CR, because there's a lot of activists here who support each other, like our caucus. They're probably not in the same boat as us, but they still support each other here.
Yeah, so, solidarity.
Yeah, so, I mean,
So become a subscriber.
Tricia.
Today.
Let's become a subscriber. Are you a subscriber? So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, if I wasn't here, I'm still going to be that girl, like... yeah, whatever. I don't want drama. I don't crave for drama, but sometimes these people, especially men, need to be called out.
In the moment.
Exactly, because you know what? They will never learn. Because they were like, oh, I'm sorry, but I'm going to do it again. It happened.
Yeah.
Too many times.
Yeah.
This is the reason why I become this person. The Sasha Sidek. Anyway.
can we give a shout?
Yeah, I do.
Jovi, what did we just do just before we came into the studio?
We just created a caucus Instagram.
So yeah! Because we want you to connect with us. Yeah,
and join the cult.
Yeah, there's absolutely we make great nothing pies. On Instagram. There's one follower, no profile picture, but it's the one.
Yeah.
GEPWOC caucus.
CAUCUS.
All right, we're going to put that in our podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show notes. Yeah, so gender expansive people, women of color caucus, come and join us. I think our girl Kyla is about to organize one for April. So just follow.
First week of April.
Mm. If you identify as a person who is gender expansive, non-binary, if you identify as a woman in any way that makes sense to you, you're welcome.
Exactly.
We'll have food on. We'll have a conversation that's unstructured.
Mm-hmm.
We come in. We check in with each other. Everyone has a voice. Turn up as you are, tired, energized, however. And we guarantee you will make the best friends of your life.
It's true.
And you will connect with more power.
I don't know anybody. And only like a couple of them, and I feel safe to talk about anything, and they were listening, and I saw like a few women was there, very introvert, and then when I saw them in a few other caucus, and they suddenly found their voice, and then they talk.
Yeah.
I feel like you can also be like, you know, if you like struggle to sit down, you can get up and move. You can move your hands.
Just
like,
come so as free. You are. Come as you are.
Well, we had that meditation kind of session.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
Me and Sasha.
That drawing.
Who are such yappers, could not sit still. So everyone was peacefully doing their sketches and me and Sasha kept laughing and turning to each other. And I was like, everyone's accepting this about us. We were just giggling and writing silly things on
and
the
babe,
paper.
If I could give another shout, I have an art auction, local artists coming to raise money for our grassroots federal election campaign. We don't take corporate donations as the Greens, so it's really relying on this. It's 15th of March, 5 p.m. at 34 Moreland Street opposite the Footscray Community Art Centre. Just jump on my Instagram at Hung for Fraser, H-U-O-N-G F-O-R-F-A-F-R-A-S-E-R, because we're turning up for community and we're bringing together the grassroots power, and we want to take it to parliament. So and I want everybody to connect with the energy that we're expanding from the caucus into Australian politics. It's going to be really special. So that's 15th of March, Saturday 15th of March, 5 p.m. at 34 Moreland Street, Footscray.
All right, we got like 2 minutes. Like, quickly answer this, every each one of you. If you could give a piece of advice to a younger self about embracing your identity as a woman of colour, what would it be? Quick.
Find people who...
find our caucus.
find people and hang on to them, the people that help you hear yourself, to help you make sense of yourself. Because the quicker you learn to know and trust your own version of what you're feeling and what you're seeing in the world, the more beautiful and powerful your relationships will be, and the stronger you'll be as an advocate and activist. Yeah. So just find people who help you make sense to yourself.
All right, Amber, quickly.
I think mine is pretty short. It's like you're never alone. There's like people around you that you can actually lean for support. So never be ashamed of yourself. Be proud of yourself. Yeah.
All right, Jolene.
The same sentiment. Just don't be ashamed. Be proud. You are where you come from.
Yeah. For me, it's like if you find your tribe, love them hard. And I found my tribe. Yeah, I mean, it's so empowering. Always. I mean, like, come, you know, don't take our words for it. Come and experience it for yourself.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
So we have that on our podcast, all the details and Instagram. Please follow us. It's a very new Instagram. And come and join us. Eat, love, cry. We cry too, not just love. So
and we eat good.
We eat good, yeah.
We've been eating good.
We have good chef as well in our team as well, yeah. So, yeah, and I just want to say happy International Women's Day to everyone, you know, who identify as women, and you know, you're amazing, you're doing amazing, you know. I mean, of course we have bad days, but still think that you doing the best that you can.
We see you, we love you.
Yeah. All right.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to www.3cr.org.au.